The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining us for today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Thomasina Williams. I serve as a strategic thought partner, consultant, and coach to enterprising families. I'm happy to have with me this morning as my co-host, the master builder and founder of the International Mastermind Association, Ms. Ann McNeil, who is also the principal of MCO Construction. Also co-hosting this morning is Robin Donaldson, owner of Renew Construction Services, a full-service construction firm. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning we're going to be talking about organized planning. As our lead into the show says, successful people must have plans. And not just plans, but organized plans. We are marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich, and we're on the sixth of the 13 steps to riches, organized planning. And as I said, the thing that jumped out at me about this chapter initially is that it's not just called planning, but organized planning. Oftentimes, we may have a particular idea in mind or a goal in mind and think that we've got it together, we're ready to go. When we start out, we realize that perhaps we've maybe missed a thing or two, important steps, or we haven't thought it through well enough, or maybe we're actually trying to take on too much. And so our plan becomes somewhat chaotic. So this morning we're going to talk about organized planning. And Anne, I'm going to ask you if you could start out with us about what resonated with you for this chapter on organized planning and how you've used that to really organize your entire life, not just your business.
Well, actually, Thomasina, the first page of the chapter talks about the fact that we should align ourselves with a group, as many people as needed, to create and carry out our plan, and that's called a mastermind plan group. And it really jumps into the mastermind principle chapter, and for me, that resonated with me the most, because as we formed a group of individuals that eventually became known as the International Mastermind Association, we began to hold each other accountable on the plans that we set for our life, not just the business, but our total life. And that's what jumped out at me when I began to go back in my mind and think about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 years ago, just organizing every single area of my life in a written plan and then an action for each plan and then a date. I would love to sit here and say and think that I was really that smart to know what I was doing then or what we were doing as a group. I didn't. I just followed the directions of the book And as we talked about it in our mastermind group, we came up with 10 different areas of our lives, such as our spiritual, family, financial, health, education, personal development, the business or professional area, our creativity, our recreation, and the civic area of our life as we serve and we give. And then we began to focus on setting goals and creating organized plans for 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. And I shared earlier a story about looking out in my life and what will I do when I'm 92. So that's really what resonated with me in this chapter years ago.
And what I love about that is that you focused on specific areas. To me, the term organized planning suggests a formula, a process, something that is repeatable. And what I hear you sharing with our audience is that not only did you figure out a process for writing down your goals, establishing a timeline for those goals, but you actually replicated that process in multiple areas of your life.
Correct.
And can you share with us what the process was that you went through figuring out what the 10 areas were? Was that a group process that the mastermind group itself went through, or were those simply issues or areas that were pressing for you at the time?
Well, I think, Thomasina, what actually happened is that when we first started DeMinding, we started with the 6 steps to riches. So that was just one page in the book. And for those who may be listening that may not be familiar with the 6 steps, it just basically asks how much money you want, you know, what are you going to do or give some kind of product or service in return for the money was the second step. The third step was by what date would you like to have the money by? And the fourth step was to determine an exact date you'd like to have the money. And the fourth step was to create a detailed action plan. The fifth step was to create an affirmation statement. And then the sixth step was to create, to actually repeat that statement twice a day, once upon arising in the morning and then once upon retiring at night. So we started with that process in terms of the plan. But over the years, because of reading books like Success, the Glenn Bland Method, and many other books, we realized that what good is the money if your health is bad? What good is the money if you don't have a spiritual connection with the infinite intelligence? What good is the money if your family don't really know who you are, because you're so busy running for the dollar? And so over the years, we began to add more and more categories, and that's how we ended up in settling over about a good 10 to 15-year period of time on those 10 particular areas.
Great. And just so that our listening audience knows, the formula that you're referring to is actually part of the chapter that on desire, which is the very first step, Napoleon Hill says, to riches. And the way to embed that desire, the way to really transmute that desire into money is going through these steps of fixing in your mind what the amount of money is that you want, determining exactly what you will do in return for that money, because we know there are no free lunches, and then establishing the definite date and plan for actually executing and getting that money, and then writing it down. Somehow there's something about putting things in writing that helps to crystallize it. It establishes our firm conviction, and then reading that statement aloud twice a day. And that is, again, the number one step in the 13 steps to riches and planning that burning desire for the money. But then, as you said, and once you get that money or on the route to getting the money, you realize that money is not everything. That our family is important, our spiritual life is important, our professional development is important, our health is important. And so, again, coming up with an organized plan or a formula that we can replicate to help us in attaining the riches that we seek. One of the things that, again, I love about this is the focus on the formula and the process. Robin, I'm going to go to you and ask you. You were sharing with us before the show started about the process that helped you in terms of creating organized plans for your business. Can you share with our listening audience what that is?
I sure will, and thank you for having me on the show. I'm so excited, Thomasita.
Thank you for being here.
Yes. There's a saying that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And as you stated before, this chapter, it speaks of organized planning. And when I first approached the chapter, I looked up the definition because, again, it speaks of organized planning, not planning. So the definition is, the ability to create and use logical, systematic processes to achieve goals. Those who are skilled at this competency can visualize the steps needed to reach a goal and naturally organize the process, modifying as necessary. And one of those processes that I found beneficial from this chapter was the QQS, which it stands for quality, quantity, and spirit. And the chapter, it breaks it down as quality is of service, shall be construed to mean the performance of every detail. So knowing everything pertaining to my position and the quality of the service that I'm offering, as well as the quantity of service, which is being in a habit of rendering the service of which I'm capable at all times. And then, of course, the spirit represents the attitude in which I use to offer those services. So for me, because I am in the business of offering services, I felt that this was very, very, it really stood out with me because it's not so much all that I do, it's the quality of what I do and the spirit that I assign to that service. So for me, again, trying to perfect and marketing my services, this really came into, it really hit me just to understand that my spirit or my personality or that's so important because that can sometimes compensate for any deficiencies that I might have. So that was formula that I thought was most beneficial for me.
The QQS formula, quality, quantity, and spirit. For those of you who are listening on the line, thank you for joining us. If you'd like to raise your hand to ask a question of either Ann, Robin, or myself, please press 1 on your phone. That will raise your hand and we'll invite you into the conversation. So, Robin, back to the quality, quantity, spirit. How have you actually used this formula in marketing your services?
Well, again, let's see. For me to understand my business, and that would be the quality of my service, to make sure that, again, that what I'm providing or the service that I'm providing is done in an efficient manner. And then, I think the spirit is what really helps me and my business, just having that pleasing personality. And I have found that by having a pleasing personality, a lot of doors have been opened for me. And, again, that spirit, again, it makes up for any deficiencies that I have.
So this is interesting because it reminds me of another one of the earlier steps in the 13 Steps to Riches where it talks about attracting to us the people, the forces, the things that we need, and that's in the self-confidence formula in the chapter on faith. So it's interesting that the various steps really are reinforcing each other in building towards accomplishing or reaching this goal that we've set that's our burning desire. When I think about the point of the mastermind, which Anne talked about first, and then you talking about the pleasing personality, Robin, what this comes back to also, I think, is the importance of relationships in building mm-hmm. our businesses. You know, oftentimes we can be focused on the product or focused on some aspect of our business and not thinking about the value of relationships, which are required. This is so key because the mastermind itself, I think, highlights the importance of relationships and what it is that we need to focus on as getting to that goal that we have set for ourselves, the thing that is the burning desire, to have a pleasing personality, to cultivate the relationships first and foremost with ourselves, with our God, however we choose to think about a higher power, as well as with our employees, with customers, with suppliers. The value of having organized plans as it relates to relationships is also very, very key. I'm going to go back in and ask. Go right ahead, Robin.
No, I had just wanted to chime in because, again, quality and quantity is something that can be acquired. Having that that spirit is, I feel, is something that's ingrained in a person. And to go a little further, in the chapter, Carnegie, he insisted when he was bringing his mastermind or his special group or his selected few together, I mean, he insisted upon men being agreeable. It didn't matter what they brought to the table. It didn't matter if they had the quality and the quantity. If they were not able to work in a harmonious way, it wasn't acceptable. So, again, having that pleasing spirit allows you to render your service in the proper spirit. And, again, the book time and time again lets us know that if you're not embarking on something where there is justice and harmony, that it will not succeed.
And amen to that. It also talks about, in terms of having the harmony and the pleasing personality, that we have to first learn to control ourselves. And that self-mastery is the hardest job we will ever tackle. You know, oftentimes we want the rest of the world to change. If so-and-so would just do this, if my employees would just do what they're supposed to do, if the bank would just give me that loan, if my kids would just act right, when really all we can do is control ourselves. And because of the fact that I think about our businesses as well as our families as being systems, and in any system, if you think about it as almost like a puddle of water, if you drop something into that puddle of water, it's going to have waves that are going to reverberate throughout that entire puddle. The same thing with our businesses or with our families. If we can take care of ourselves, if we can somehow muster the discipline to make a different choice, to conduct ourselves differently, that's going to have ripple effects throughout the system. Them, whether it's talking about our employees or our suppliers or our bankers, whomever, if we can master ourselves, we can make a difference in whatever system that we are a part of. We're going to go to take our first commercial break, and then when we come back, we're going to invite our callers to join the conversation by raising your hand and pressing number one on your phone. Now for a commercial break.
The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and effort in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, "Education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And thank you. We are now back live with the International Mastermind Association's show this morning, talking about organized planning, the 6 of 13 steps to riches. If you'd like to, if you're listening in, would like to join the conversation, please press number 1 on your phone to raise your hand. Another important point that we haven't touched on yet that I think is important to mention about organized planning is that, you know, even the best laid plans don't necessarily go as we might anticipate. And that's okay, because if the plan doesn't work out the first time, what we need to do is to step back and make some sort of adjustment. It might be an adjustment in that particular plan. Maybe there's just something you need to tweak, or it could be that maybe you need to create a new plan or take a different route. One of the things that comes to mind for me as a lawyer is, and a trial lawyer, people used to always sometimes say that I've never lost a trial. And one of my mentors would say to me, anybody who tells you they've never lost a trial hasn't tried very many cases. Because, again, even the best laid plans fail, and there's always something to be learned. If you have done anything enough, there have been some times and you've done it and you haven't succeeded. And even most successful business people have tried multiple businesses and have failed.
Thomasina was saying many of us have tried many different multiple businesses and situations in our life, and we find that oftentimes they don't work out. And while she is experiencing a little technical difficulty, we can't hear you right now, Thomasina, so I just want to come back to that first page and just suggest and encourage us that one of the things that we can do when we have a situation where we've tried and tried and those plans have failed, bring it to your mastermind group and have an accountability conversation and lay out exactly what it is that you've done, and then allow those individuals to chime in to that conversation and help you to determine what can you do differently the next time and then the next time. And the book is full of many examples of individuals who have tried and failed. And I think of one such individual that when his store burned down, everybody around him decided to leave, and he decided to stay and to rebuild. And rebuild he did on the same spot where the store burned down. And how many times in our lives and in our businesses and sometimes in our families, things burn down, if you will, not literally, but figuratively speaking. And what we find is that we can rebuild, but it is a decision, it's a commitment. And so, Robin, I'm not sure if you have any examples in your life that may demonstrate this rebuilding.
One comment that I wanted to add, Ms. Ann, I know that my economics professor, and this is talking about the processes and the importance of following the process. For me, I always try to, as the book say, reap without planning. I wanted to reap the harvest. My economic teacher, he told me, he gave me a problem, and I completed the problem faster than the others. And he asked me to bring it up to him and show him my work and how I arrived at that answer. So the answer that I had was correct, but the process that I used was incorrect. So the answer that I received was it was a coincidence, actually. Because he went in to say, he says, Robin, this particular formula or process, it takes 12 steps. You got the answer in 4 steps. So, again, with that tying in with the chapter is understanding the processes and doing them all the time, making it a habit of going through each and every process. although you may look up a couple times and get the correct answer or outcome that you're looking for, but it's not going to be a solid one. And you can't use that, you can't use those three steps if it takes 12 if you want to be successful each and every time.
Yeah, along the same lines, I often tell the story, and I don't have a problem in continuing to tell that story, about my general contractor's license, because it's an ideal example of what can happen if you just don't quit. When we started meeting and I started going through these six steps and identifying how I was going to make extra money because I was so deeply in debt, I had to figure out a way to come out, and I thought, after trying a lot of different businesses, that I would, you know, get my general contractor's license and start my own business. And from meeting with our mastermind group week after week after week, I would say, oh, you know, I'm going to get my license. And every week I would say that, but I didn't give an action plan of how I was going to do that. So at one point, one of our members said, you know, she was really tired of me coming to the call and to the meeting, actually, talking about what I was going to do without telling the group exactly what action I would take. So eventually I realized I needed to take the exam. And before I could take the exam, I needed to take a prep class to pass the exam, because my background is I have an undergraduate degree in accounting, a master's in finance, but knew absolutely nothing about construction. Long story short, I took the test, failed terribly, took it again, failed. And I actually took that test about five or six times before I passed. But each time I'd fail by 1 point, by 2 points, by 3 points, by 1 point, by 2 points. And the point is this: I passed. Does anybody care if I passed by 1 point or 2 points? Oftentimes we don't really analyze what is going on, like you shared, about what is it that we need to do. And I like to suggest, like the book suggests, ally yourself with a group of as many as you may need to create and carry out your plan or plans for the accumulation of money. Now, even though we're not just talking about money and organized planning, we're talking about every area of your life, and it's the same. Create a mastermind group, somebody or a group of individuals that's going to hold you accountable. And Thomasina, I'm not sure if you're back yet, but we're going to go ahead and go to a commercial break. And we're going to come back, and as we shared before, we're talking about the organized planning chapter in the book Think and Grow Rich, and we're very excited as we share with our friends our own experiences on how we have used this chapter in every single area of our lives. And we're not perfect. We're still on the journey, but we are planning in an organized manner. And if those plans are not working, we circle back around with our group to figure out why. So hang in here, stay tuned, and we're going to go to a commercial break, and we will be right back.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, thank you. And we're back. And again, we're discussing the Think and Grow Rich mastermind of the masterminding of your organized planning. And one of the areas I'd like to share directly out of the book, Napoleon Hill says, in regards to allowing your mastermind group to help you with your plans in an organized manner. He says, arrange to meet with the members of your mastermind group at least twice a week and more often if possible until you have jointly perfected the necessary plan or plans for the accumulation of money. He also goes on to share that you must maintain perfect harmony between yourself and every member of your mastermind group. If you fail to carry out this instruction to the letter, you may expect to meet with failure. The mastermind principle cannot obtain where perfect harmony does not prevail. And I share that because so often we are aligned with individuals, whether it's in our businesses or in our home, and there's not perfect harmony. And we wonder why, as we plan things, especially in business, why are the plans not working? Well, if you really do a self-assessment and look around, you may find that if you try the spirit by the spirit, those organized plans may not be working because you're not aligned spiritually. Now, we know that's another show for another day, but it's actually a show for right now because he's telling us, Napoleon Hill is telling us in this chapter, that perfect harmony must exist in order for your plans to work, especially if you're talking about money. And oftentimes we'll find that when we align ourselves with people, and you can tell this sometimes when you walk into a room and you find an individual walking toward you and something jumps in your spirit that says, I don't know about that. Or someone walks toward you and your spirit connects with their spirit. All of this is a part of what we're discussing today when we talk about organized planning and how does it really show up when you align yourself with people of like mind and like spirit when it comes to business and you're talking about the accumulation of wealth. I want to go on and talk about further in the chapter. He says that no individual has sufficient experience, education, or native ability and knowledge to ensure the accumulation of a great fortune without the cooperation of other people. Every plan you adopt in your endeavor to accumulate wealth should be the joint creation of yourself and every other member of your mastermind group. You may originate your plans on your own, either in whole or in part. See that those plans are checked and approved by the members of your mastermind alliance. If the first plan which you adopt does not work successfully, replace it with a new plan. If the new plan fails to work, replace it in turn with still another, and so on until you find a plan which does work. And I'll go back to myself and using myself as an example. When I kept failing that exam and I would go and travel and look at the exam results, I found that there was a certain part of the exam that I was weak in, and that part dealt with math. And then as I did the introspection, I said, I didn't really do that very well in math when I was younger in school, but my husband is brilliant, graduated valedictorian of our university. I went to him. He helped me with that math, took that exam again, and, of course, I passed. And I'm sharing this because oftentimes in our lives, there's some kind of weak link in that chain that we're not willing to step back and have a look at in self-reflection and self-respection in terms of looking at why is it that I'm not doing well in this business relationship? How is it that I'm not making the money that I desire? And sometimes when you get together with your mastermind group, you will find the answer in that question. And again, if you're listening and you're enjoying what you're listening to, even if you're not, I'd like to hear from you because, again, this is a conversation. It's not a monologue. It's a dialogue. So if you'd like to participate in the show with Robin and Thomasina and myself, just press 1 on your phone and we will bring you in and ask your question or receive your comment. And as we prepare to have that conversation, as we prepare to bring on Thomasina and Robin to continue to share, we want to encourage you that you can also participate. And good morning again, Robin and Thomasina. Welcome back to the show. Robin, my question for you is, can you think of another situation you may have as a part of your organized planning that you'd like to share with our audience?
Well, yes, and it would be, again, the choosing of the mastermind. As you just mentioned, how we have to, again, all those need to be, how can I express it? Actually, I'm going to read from the chapter to explain what I want to convey. It says, you must have the advantage, and we're talking about the mastermind here, my mastermind group, that I must have the advantage of the experience, education, native ability, and imaginations of other minds. That is, of course, in harmony with the methods followed in every person who has accumulated a great fortune. So, again, those are the different players, I will say, that I have in my mastermind. So I have one who has the education. I have one who has the native ability, or the other one may have the experience. So I'm bringing, again, all of these people together to help our common goal. And then this chapter, it emphasizes one thing that I thought was very key, is that when you're choosing those people, that they should not be ones who give up easily. Because as we know, time and time again, all plans are not successful the first, second, third, or maybe the 50th time. So therefore, again, we need, knowing that we're going to experience a temporary defeat, again, we need to align ourselves with who have these abilities, who comes with their fresh ideas, and most importantly, who don't give up easily.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. We do have a number of different individuals that have raised their hands. We're going to turn this show back over to Thomasina. And, Thomasina, we do have caller 8202 that has a question, and we can go to her question, and then we have a number of callers that are chiming in. Thank you, Thomasina, and welcome back.
Thank you, Anne, and my apologies to our listening audience. Had a little technical difficulty there. Just to finish up my story, I did enlist, as Robert and Anne have talked about, the mastermind to help me develop my next set of organized plans moving into the next journey on what I'm trying to do professionally. But I am going to go to our first caller holding on the line, I believe is Diane. Diane, you are now live. Your comment or your question, please.
Oh, thank you. Comment, awesome show. Thank you for sharing. My question for Anne, the exam, I do plan to take that. Maybe I have a set of date. I must say maybe 2019 won't be this year. 2019 is 2020. But my question, 7 times taking the test, was there ever time you decided you were not going to take the test again and gave up and just decided I'm not going to do this? Did you know that you needed to continue to pursue? I just want to know your journey. Thank you. I'll go back on mute.
Anne, I believe that question was directed to you.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question again, please?
Yes. Thank you, Anne.
Diane.
Yes. Okay. The
yes,
question,
Diane, your question,
just,
please.
The just your journey, the 7 times taking your test, because I am going to take my test probably in 2 years. But my question, did you think about quitting? Were you going to, did you contemplate giving up and not continuing? Or did you just know that you had to get the test resolved? I was just curious. I'll go back on mute. Thank you.
As I laugh in the background, quitting was never in my thought processes. And it's interesting you ask that question, because I never ever thought about quitting. And let me share with you why. We're going to go to, we have a lot of other callers with questions, but I never thought about quitting because I keep reading this book. And because we were walking through the book and I read about so many people who experienced temporary defeat, see, that's a part of the process. It's nothing but a stepping stone. I knew that if other people could do it, I could do it too. And even if they had not done it before, I knew I could do that by faith. So I'm not going to get on that. We're going to go on, Thomasina. We have another caller, and her last 4 digits are 5449. Thank you so very much, Diane, for that question. But no, I never thought about quitting. Thanks.
Thank you.
It reminds me of when the Napoleon Hill Foundation decided to republish the book, they did a series. And one of my, I think it was 30 feet from gold. It was some distance from gold. And the point is about persistence, that most people fail because they just stop. If you keep going, you're literally just, success can be just around the corner. So I think that's a more from that story. We're going to go next to LaWanna, who's been holding on the line patiently. LaWanna, your question, please.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Thomasina, for all of the wisdom that you share. I want to go back. When we look at organized planning, and even looking at the very first one, number one, ally yourself with a group of as many people as you may need for the creation and carrying out of your plan, or plans for the accumulation of money, making use of the mastermind principle. This is an open question. Did any of you find it difficult in the beginning to visualize the money? That is a challenge that I recognize and I have, is visualize as I'm going through all the steps and I'm doing a lot of the work, that piece of actually visualizing I'm having a challenge with. So I wanted to reach out to see if any of you also have, and if you have recommendations or a suggestion on direction.
All right, I can answer that, Thomasine, if that's okay. I can start.
Sure, Anne.
Okay. I would say in the beginning, I started with a very small amount of money, which was $1,000 to save in a year. And this was December 31st, 1979 at 9 p.m. when I picked the book up the first time. And so $1,000 to me, I thought was an easy task. But because I put it out for a year, I realized it took me many years because I was so deeply in debt, I could not save. And I actually started saving like $10, you know, and then $20. But just the process. And so I think that you're exactly where you need to be, LaWanna. And oftentimes, if the amount of money is so far out there, bring the amount of money down to a smaller amount and then take the time period, the question he asked about by what date, and put it out a longer period of time until your self-image and self-worth can catch up with the dollars, because that's really what you're dealing with in terms of being able to see how it's going to happen. But just keep walking by faith would be my encouragement. And back to you, Thomasina. Thank you, LaWanna.
Thomasina, I would like to chime in on that one, on that question that LaWanna posed. For me, it was hard to visualize making $100,000 a year because I never had. And also, I was venturing into a new industry. But from reading the book, writing it down, repeating it, and do everything that you have on or in that plan. So for me, I knew that I wanted to advance my cleaning services. So again, I declared all of those things. I wrote down how much money I wanted to make. I knew each step that it would take. Each and every day had a step that brought me closer to those $100,000. And then as I was able to make $30,000, then I was able to make $50,000. Now, this is the kind of money that I was normally accustomed to making a year, but I'm reaching this goal 4 to 5, 6 months in, you know, of that year. So once I was able to achieve that what I would call unreachable goal, the faith kicked in, and then my self-confidence grew, and then that gave fuel to the desire that I had. And my experiences, because maybe like, what is it, Ms. Ann? I've been knowing you about 3 years now, 3.5, going on 4 years. When I started out on my journey, I did not even know what I was going to do. I was just exposed to a lot of different things. And I went from, in the janitorial service, it started from cleaning someone's house. It was a church member that was referred to me. And now I have the ability to provide operating staff, janitorial staff for a convention center. So now with that being said, I'm off to greater heights. Now I'm thinking about bigger things. Now I'm looking to expand my janitorial service to emergency 911 cleanup. So again, it may be hard to see in the beginning, but as you achieve those goals that you have set forth, that faith will increase, that desire will be fueled, and you will achieve that goal much sooner than you think.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for sharing that. And I just want to suggest one other thing that you might also want to think about, LaWanna, is going back to the faith chapter of the book and the self-confidence formula. I think Anne is exactly right. I think oftentimes we question ourselves and whether we're worthy, but having that self-confidence is really what it takes, and recognizing that other people aren't smarter than you, other people don't know more than you. They just have, I think, more self-confidence to move forward. And if other people have been able to realize their financial goals, including those of us on this phone line, then you know that it's within you to realize those goals as well. And so maybe something you might want to think about is just working with that self-confidence formula a little bit in the chapter on faith.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Our next caller who's been holding patiently now is Sharon. Sharon, we're opening up your phone line and inviting you to ask a question or make a comment.
Good morning. There's two comments that I'd like to make. And probably several years ago, you had a guest on. I don't remember his name, but his moniker was the Coffee King. And one of the things that he said that struck me, and this refers back to your mastermind group, he said it's very important that you are equally yoked. He said a lot of times we use that in a spiritual manner, are you saved or are you not? But being equally yoked means those persons that are around you are yoked to your goal in supporting you. And I think that's everything that you've already talked about, but it's really important to think about that in terms of, you know, are those people that I surround myself with, are they equally yoked to me? Now,
Mr.
it could
Bean.
Be higher.
Sharon's name was Bean. Bean.
Yes, yes. Now, the other thing that I wanted to say is I've listened to Anne and others talk several times about the importance of morning meditation and writing and how all the things that you think about, your thoughts and problem solving, your mind never stops problem solving. Just because you're asleep doesn't mean your mind ever goes to sleep. And so when you get up in the morning and you start meditating and you start writing, answers come out, answers to problems, answers to what bothers you. Things become clear as to why we're not achieving, as to who's that person that's going to take us to the next goal. And they may appear today or may appear tomorrow. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing right? And so, you know, there's a lot of things, little things that we do that make the difference. One last point, and I'll make this quick. Something that I used myself and I've heard others use. Thoughts come at you all the time about why you're not making it. But there's scripture, there are quotes, there are things that you have to speak out of your mouth and to reinforce where you're going. Reinforce, yes, I'm a great writer. Yes, I'm a great thinker. No, I have a good memory. But there are things that reinforce that. And sometimes you have to speak it out of your mouth. Sometimes you have to meditate it and write it. It's a whole program. Anyway, that's it. I just wanted to make sure that I spoke those things because, you know, there's a lot of little things that we do, and sometimes we overlook those little things. Thank you for listening to me.
Thank you very much, Sharon, for those insightful comments. And those are very big things. Your point about being equally yoked, it's why we say that the mastermind is a group of like-minded people. And just to give a little personal testimony, as I was discussing earlier, I was working with a large financial institution and decided that I wanted to make a change. And one of the things I knew I needed to do was to surround myself with people who were about the business of being serious about their own business. And the first person I thought about was Ms. Ann McNeil. And so I came to the Mastermind Accountability's annual meeting in January. And that was one step that I took for surrounding myself with like-minded people. So you're absolutely right that that energy feeding off of that and that kind of reinforcement helps to build the self-confidence that allows us to step forward. Your point about meditation is also a very important one, because oftentimes in our doing, we are not focused as we need to be on our being and on listening, to be still and to listen so that the next step, the guidance that we need, it will appear. How I came to what I'm working on currently was through a meditation. I knew that I wanted to do something different. I wasn't quite sure what that was. And so I just was quiet, and an idea came to me that now I have been able to attract all of these people. It's in an area having to do with technology. I know nothing about technology. Just now my phone went out. I can't tell you why. I'm sitting in one place, quiet. So I am not a technologist, but I've been able to find the technologists, the people who have the technical expertise, which draws on another one of the steps in the success formula, is being able to not only develop our own specialized knowledge, but accessing the specialized knowledge of other people. And I also just want to affirm your comment about affirmations, which is another step. The book refers to affirmations as part of the auto-suggestion. What it is that we feed our consciousness is very important in terms of determining what our success will be. Again, a lot of it is up to us, what we feed ourselves, what we tell ourselves, and being able to be still ourselves and listening to the still small voice, even as we also surround ourselves with a mastermind, with a group of like-minded people. Next, I'm going to go to Carolyn Kennedy. I see that your line is open. Carolyn, do you have a comment or a question for our host this morning? You might be on mute, Carolyn.
Okay.
Did you have a comment or a question? If Carolyn does not have a comment or question, I think we're going to go to our next commercial break before we come back to close out the show.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
You are listening to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk show, Think and Grow Rich. This morning we've had a lively discussion about the topic of organized planning and the importance of enlisting our mastermind group to help us develop specific processes, steps, and formulas to further our goals. I'm going to go back now to Robin first and then to Ann to close out this morning's show. Robin, did you have a closing comment or suggestion for our listening audience? Are you on mute, Robin?
Yes, I hear my mom mute. I apologize. In closing, I would just say the quote by Napoleon Hill, where he says that no individual may have great power without availing himself of the mastermind. So I would encourage everyone on the call, find a mastermind group. Align yourself with those people who have, they're like-minded. You all have the same goal in mind. And that way, that's the only way that you can ever expect to achieve any type of success.
Thank you, Robin. And Anne, our master builder, I know you have some words of wisdom to send our guest off from this week's show.
Well, absolutely. And really, the more I read this book and the more I read this particular chapter, as Robin has suggested, I place very highly the principle of the mastermind group in serving as an accountability on your goals. Doesn't matter if it's relating to money, family, or any of the other 10 categories we discussed. I would encourage all of us to think and grow rich, but in every single area of our lives and business.
Thank you, Anne. And for my parting comments, I just want to share on the theme of organized planning. While the mastermind is obviously very important, it also is part of a larger picture. One of the things that resonated with me from this chapter is it talks about what we know is really not the key. People don't pay you for what you know. They pay you for what you actually do and how you use that knowledge. And the use of that knowledge requires preparation, and preparation requires organized planning on your own as well as through the support of your mastermind. So that concludes this week's show of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich. We invite you to join us next Saturday morning here again at 8 a.m. for another discussion about the success formula from Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. Thank you and have a wonderful day.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.